Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weed Day Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EasyMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week, along with the lowest price certifications in town. You'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
All right. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody.
Good morning.
Buenos dias. I think we're live.
Buenos dias?
Yes. We're in the land. We've been chatting here.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Buenos dias.
Yeah, so,
Good morning, Arizona.
Long show last week.
New York. And, oh, my God.
I know. 2.5 hours long.
Today's show is going to feel like a breeze.
It really is.
Oh, my God. Look, it's almost over. It's almost 9. Wow, we had an amazing show last week. If you missed it, you can catch it again. If you just go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and check on the radio link, you can catch the show. 2.5 hours of Doug Fine, Attorney Tom Dean, Robert Platshorn, Cheryl Schumann.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. We could have had and we should have another show with each of them just on their own.
Right.
Because it was our first time meeting with Cheryl.
She was a blast.
Yeah, she's
awesome. Had so much information. She's doing so much stuff up in the California area with High Society.
Yeah, High Society of Beverly Hills.
She even invited us, Belle and I, to a party.
Yeah.
A 420 party.
We should really take her up on that one because that would just be really fun to go out there to the hills.
To the Hollywood Hills?
Yes, to the Hollywood Hills. So what is happening? There is a lot happening in the weed world. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, a live cannabis radio show.
With your host, Bellstar and the Cannabis Kid.
Yes, Bellstar and the Cannabis Kid. We're here. We're just waking up. I think we're still shocked from last week's show. We've got some great articles in Culture Magazine. We're going to read some stories from azmarijuana.com. These are some of our awesome sponsors. We're going to read some stuff from High Times, I think, as well. We were just having a discussion earlier with our tech guy and the kid here about, and you guys should chime in on this one. So the focus is the CBD. So everyone's focused on CBD oils and hemp oils and just that cannabinoid. So especially people that don't want the non-psychoactive. They're looking for the Charlotte's Web kind of strains that are very high CBD and very little THC. But I wonder, and we were talking about the effects of the entire plant, you know, like when you juice it or eat it raw, you get the whole thing. So
right. you're not leaving anything
oil,
out.
Yeah, because it's, as a whole plant, it's synergistic within itself, you mm-hmm. know. So if you're only taking, you know, only using one part of it, only focusing on that, which we know is good for certain things, you know, CBD is good for seizures and cancers and things like that. Why not? And THC, yes, it can be psychoactive, but it's also very good for pain and antibacterial.
But the whole plant is good for pain.
Yes.
And what I think we're going to start understanding more and more is that, you know, we can't just keep on breaking off pieces. Because all of our plants are... all of our medicines are plant derived.
Yes.
So you take acetaminophen or you take aspirin or you take a blood pressure medication, or, I mean, some of these are derivatives of plants. And I think we always seem to take the one thing that we think helps out the most. But when you think about it in nature, the whole plant helps.
Yeah.
And so when you use it in as a whole,
right,
you're getting the best benefit of it.
That's our thought. We don't know. We're just,
we
you know.
Do know, I think. Well, I think more than anything, we've seen it.
We have seen it. We've seen it in instantaneous moments. I was mm-hmm. describing to a friend of ours whose mom has cancer, and I've said, you know, with MS patients and stuff, I've seen instantaneous, mm-hmm. you know, healings with them where they get peace and relief right away from using it. But we have something, I don't know if y'all saw that Sanjay Gupta special, We Too, last night. I myself did not. Did
I
you?
Caught a little bit of
caught
it.
A little.
But you can look at it. I mean, it's not going to go away.
It's on CNN. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can check it out. But there's a little blurb here we wanted to play and see if it comes to
you. No, Sanjay Gupta, he is the medical, head medical guy for news and things like that. So he's a doctor. He talks a lot for CNN and does a lot of research for the CNN group. So if you don't know him, I didn't know him until I actually started getting in with the whole cannabis world.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. And this is just part of what was played. This is a little blurb on marijuana and the brain. Let's see if this comes through. This is pretty cool.
Let's talk about marijuana and your brain. It's a rather complicated process, so let's start off with what's familiar to you. THC. THC is the chemical in weed that gets you high. You feel lightheaded. Feel giddy. Sometimes relaxed. Marijuana, you can smoke it. You can eat it in an extract of food. You can inhale it with a vapor pen or consume it in an oil form. It's especially good for little kids who are taking it as a medicine. No matter the method, THC goes through your bloodstream. To various nerve cells all around your body and makes the user feel high. Not all cannabis is going to get you stoned. That's because marijuana contains another chemical known as CBD. That's cannabidiol. Marijuana plants that have low THC and high CBD can work really well as a medicine. They can treat things like epilepsy. It works because the CBD chemical can quiet excessive electrical and chemical activity in the brain. I know this 3-year-old girl who went from having 300 seizures a week to 2 per month after her parents gave her cannabis with high levels of CBD. When it comes to marijuana, there's some 500 different chemical compounds. All these compounds work together. It's something known as the entourage effect. So it's important because you can't just take a chemical out of marijuana and make a medicine. You need the whole plant, especially when it comes to using pot instead of pills.
There you have it. Well, that answers our question.
They didn't answer my question. It proved me right.
It proved you right? Well, we like
that. I like that. You know, I like it was a great
you need the whole plan.
Itty, small, something for people to understand and get it right off the bat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's what we need out there, is that education that's out there that's, wow, that's pretty cool.
That's a great point.
We need that information out there that's quick, that's easy, because that's the way we like it. We like it like pills. We want to be able to swallow down our information fast.
Yes, this is true. But what's nice is the forms you can get cannabis now, which some people can't swallow pills. So
right.
T-shirts, there's lots of lotions.
Candies.
Yeah, candies, lotions, salves.
Edibles.
They're making those
food. You can
Listerine-like
food.
Things
yeah.
where you can dissolve on
uh-huh.
your tongue, those little strips.
Well, and that's the conveniency of what we like about, especially here in America, we like convenience. And so the more convenient an item is for us to consume, the faster it will be consumed, and the more money that person will make, whoever created that product that can be consumed faster.
But this is not about the money.
No.
But check
not.
This out. Colorado's marijuana industry generates $45 million in sales in 1 month.
Woo! That's a good chunk of change.
Colorado's legal cannabis businesses brought in $45 million in sales and $3.5 million in tax and fee revenue for the state during the historic first month of legal retail adult use sales, according to the Colorado Department of Revenue. The figures announced today by state officials show that Colorado's dispensaries brought in approximately $14 million in adult use cannabis sales and approximately $31 million in medical cannabis sales. Adult use cannabis taxes and fees for January added another $2.1 million, and medical cannabis taxes and fees contributed another $1.4 million. That's awesome. So look at that, first month. They got the revenue.
Better watch out.
Well, it just goes to show, I think that we know. Look what D.C. just did. Now you can get a parking ticket kind of fee for having, less than an ounce? That's fantastic.
I mean, it's still kind of ridiculous in that part because people have their medications in their purse and they can drive around with those. And eventually...
But did you read this? Speaking of that, there's an article on azmarijuana.com about, it says, the county drops charges against medical marijuana patients. So here's a good story. This week, charges were dropped for a medical marijuana patient in Phoenix who was arrested for a DUI stop in November. The patient, who has remained anonymous, was found to be in possession of just one piece of marijuana-infused chocolate candy edible. The reasoning behind the arrest was that the Compassion Club, quote, that he purchased the infused candy from doesn't have the state approval to sell marijuana, so it was not a state-licensed dispensary.
Oh.
Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery and his office had hoped to use this case in an attempt to push forward the idea that when the medical marijuana law was passed in Arizona, it did not include concentrated marijuana such as infused edibles, oils, or hash. The patient who was arrested with the single piece of candy presented a state-issued medical marijuana card when he was detained, but he was later sent a letter from Montgomery's office saying that he could plead guilty and have to pay his way through a drug program, or he could fight a felony conviction that could land him in jail for almost 4 years. The case was dropped unexpectedly when Montgomery claimed the evidence had been destroyed. Others are theorizing that the state simply chose not to prosecute in fear that the jury would rule in the patient's favor, which would put into the jeopardy similar cases that have yet to go to trial. I think someone ate it.
I was just going to say, someone ate it.
I think Mr. Montgomery did it, and he was like, hey, wait a minute. Well, what was I doing?
This looks delicious.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a little dispensary list. When you get certified at Tumbleweed Sales Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, cheapest prices in town, the state of Arizona actually sends you a PDF file of all the dispensaries in the state, actually, so you can see all the way from north.
All the state-issued licenses.
Yeah, all the state-issued licensed dispensaries.
Not your underground ones.
No clubs, no Compassion this or centers that, none of that. There's, I don't know how many are open, 75, 85, I haven't, but there's some. If you go to azmarijuana.com, they have a new Phoenix Metro dispensary that just opened. But there are plenty out there. Also, you know what Dr. Sanjay Gupta was talking about, families that are just uprooting their lives and moving to states that have medical programs because their children are in dire need. Well, here's a family that moved to Arizona to get medical marijuana.
Oh, wow.
Let's read about this. A family from Virginia is about to move to Arizona for the sole purpose of obtaining medical marijuana for their 15-month-old son. Jennifer and Dan Strauss have been giving their son Levi 5 different anti-seizure medications daily. They say that not only do these medications provide no relief, it appears that they might actually be worsening Levi's condition. They have heard stories of children with epilepsy finding drastic relief in the form of medical marijuana and are willing to try anything at this point. The type of marijuana that is provided to children with these conditions isn't one that gets them high or provides any type of narcotic effect, but it does offer immediate relief. Jennifer Strauss says, there have been children who were in wheelchairs, not feeding themselves, that are now walking and feeding themselves. It's this type of hope that makes leaving family behind, friends and their jobs in search of a better life for their son truly worth it. The Strauss family hopes their story will help inspire others to speak up in favor of the medicinal values of marijuana. And I just want to say something about the whole getting high thing, because it's such a misrepresented term. I would like to even just get rid of that term altogether, but I don't know what you would use other than, I don't know, it just feels good. It's not hot. You know, when people think of high, they think of reefer madness and, you know, crashing cars and things like that, you know, screaming people and the whole reefer madness movie the government put out.
Beating people down.
Yeah.
Violence.
Yeah. It's about healing.
So far from that.
Yeah. It's so far from that. So when people, you know, like people say, are you high or whatever, it's not high. Mm-hmm. It's a feeling, overall feeling of wellness is what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to share a quote that was on Facebook the other day. It was called, "It's not just about getting stoned. It's about healing, relaxing, cleansing the mind, body, and soul with a natural herbal medication."
There you go. Herbal medication.
It's okay. This isn't something that was man-made. It wasn't, you know, it's not made in a factory and shipped to your door. It's not, you can't get it at the grocery store. You know, it's got tons of medical values in it.
It sure does.
And it really is about letting go of your day or whatever is going on with you, your pain, just forgetting that you might that you have cancer or HIV or AIDS. You know, it's a kind of a getaway. It lets you have peace of mind.
And lets
and
you
not
have peace of body, too.
Peace of body.
Yeah, just lets you have some peace.
So just remember, it's not just about getting stoned. It's about healing, relaxing, cleansing the mind, body, and soul with a natural herbal medication.
There you go. And you know that high they talk about, it doesn't last very long anyway.
It's not.
You know, it's 20, 30 minutes, and then it's just the rest of feeling of, like, your body feels good. And
right.
Relaxed.
And I think a lot of people
about your
get,
day.
They have that initial paranoia about it, because I think that paranoia was placed there.
That paranoia is called the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's been there for forever. And
yes,
I think
it's
always been linked with that because...
Oh, they just try and put the fear in you. So here's a good article about some of the health benefits of marijuana. We can read about that. This is on azmarijuana.com, and they've got a really great, this super wheel of CBD and THC. But it says, just to tell you, because... You know, most people know of CBDs that are helping with seizures and they're helping with cancers, and they know THC to get you quote-unquote high, or it can actually cause a little anxiety if you get too powerful a strain and you're not used to it. However, CBD also is an antibacterial. It inhibits cancer cell growth. It's a neuroprotective. It promotes bone growth. It reduces seizures and convulsions. It reduces blood sugar levels. It reduces functions in the immune system. Reduces inflammation, reduces risks of artery blockage, reduces small intestine contractions, reduces vomiting and nausea, relieves pain, relieves anxiety, slows bacterial growth, suppresses muscle spasms, it's tranquilizing, treats psoriasis, and is a vasorelant. Vasorelaxant? Oh, boy.
A vascular reaction.
Nope. Don't even go there. Vasorelaxant, we're going to say that. Nope, there's no, nope. Look that one up. So other things that CBD, so there's over 500 cannabinoids, they said, in the plant. So these are just a few. CBDA, CBG, CBGA, CBC, and then various versions of THCA and THCV and THC.
Yeah.
So
it just decreases of the vascular pressure.
It's awesome. You should check it out at azmarijuana.com. It says marijuana has many known health benefits, and current research is revealing even more health benefits from marijuana. Marijuana strains naturally contain chemicals called cannabinoids. Indicas, sativas, and hybrids vary in their composition of cannabinoids. The two primary cannabinoids in marijuana are delta-9-tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, and CBD. and it says view the graph below. If you're online, you can do so. THC is a psychoactive chemical in marijuana that produces the euphoric effect known as a high. It also helps relieve pain, stimulate appetite, and suppresses muscle spasms. CBD is known for its expansive resume of health benefits. Scientific studies have found CBD helps with reducing inflammation, nausea, pain, anxiety, and seizures, is antibacterial, and inhibits cancer cell growth, among more. When consumed together, THC and CBD have been found to increase marijuana's efficacy while reducing adverse effects. CBD also works collectively with THC by boosting its health effects and moderating its psychoactivity. This means that marijuana with higher levels of CBD than THC will provide more medical benefits with less of a cognitive high. Hmm. Generally, at dispensaries, THC levels in marijuana range from 10 to 30%, with 15 to 20% being the most common. CBD levels usually range less than 1% to upwards of 5%. Marijuana strains with a high CBD content are still rare at Arizona dispensaries, but the demand for the medical benefits of CBD-rich marijuana, as well as for the purity of organically grown marijuana, will lead to more dispensaries offering these unique strain options. CBD can also be found in tincture, pill, and other forms. And there are a variety of companies that offer these at the various dispensaries in Arizona. Pretty cool. You should check it out. There are a lot of health benefits in the, I think, having them.
Well, me and Belle, we always get really excited about cannabinoid what is it? Chart.
Yeah.
The cannabinoid chart, because there's so much information on it. And that one actually had, it's a good one, but there's ones out there that I've seen that actually have a little more extensive amount. And as this plant is actually studied with, not that it hasn't been studied, but studied with a lot higher tech gadgets that can study the plant and find out more information about it in a way that they can use in there and actually call it a study.
Yeah, there are scientific studies that they say they lack. They're out there. They've been studying it for years.
So anyway, that's what I want. Seeing these cannabinoids being researched a lot more, we're going to find out so much more and why we've been concentrating on THC for such a long time. And now we can start concentrating on all of these and giving them. Now, your idea, Belle, was equal parts of all the cannabinoids.
Well, just potentiate the plant as much as you can with all the cannabinoids.
Right.
Because I'm sure, you know, with your Charlotte's Web strains and things that are, you know, and your Rick Simpson 15% or more CBD in there, I mean, those plants naturally probably have a very high level of THC. No? You should check it out. Maybe they're breeding them low. But if they bred them to have high levels of both, that's
right.
What I
and
think.
Right, or equal parts for whatever. I mean, they all have to help out something in the body. And what they talk about those cannabinoid receptors is you're actually feeding your endocannabinoid system.
That's right.
With
and
the cannabis,
that's
and
why
they're
you
replacing.
Feel so good. Right.
And it's that's what we're starting to learn more and more about is. What do these receptors take in and what do they not? I mean, we know that the whole plant is great, and that's why we talk about whole plant use. But what is these cannabinoid receptors doing once that they've taken in these cannabinoids in that either were eating, vaping, smoking?
Yeah.
You know, what is
ingesting it? Consuming it.
How are these being broken down in the body? So that's what's going to be interesting to start hearing about.
Okay, so here's a little study that this came out last year, last March, but this is pot's cancer healing properties. So let's read a little bit of this. It says the U.S. War on Drugs stalling mind-blowing research into pot's cancer healing properties. Clinical research published in a journal of the American Association for Cancer Research showing that marijuana's components can inhibit the growth of cancerous brain tumors is the latest in a long line of studies demonstrating the drug's potential as an anti-cancer agent. This latest study performed by researchers at Madrid's Complutense University found that cannabis restricts the blood supply to glioblastoma multiform tumors, an aggressive brain tumor that kills some 7,000 people in the United States a year. But despite the value of such findings, both in terms of the treatment of life-threatening illnesses and as news, U.S. media coverage has been almost non-existent. Why the blackout? Not one such study has been acknowledged by the U.S. government. This wasn't always the case. In fact, the first experiment documenting POTS anti-tumor effect took place in 1974 at the Medical College of Virginia at the behest of the U.S. government. It showed that marijuana's psychoactive component, THC, slowed the growth of lung cancers, breast cancers, and a virus-induced leukemia in laboratory mice and prolonged their lives by as much as 36%.
That's
huge. Despite these favorable preliminary findings, U.S. government officials refused to fund any follow-up research for two decades until it conducted a similar, though secret, clinical trial in the mid-1990s. That study, carried out by the U.S. National Toxicology Program, concluded that mice and rats administered high doses of THC over long periods had greater protection against malignant tumors than untreated controls. Rather than publicize these findings, government researchers shelved the results, which only became public after a draft copy of the findings were leaked in 1997 to a medical journal that in turn forwarded the story to the national media. However, in the 8 years since then, the U.S. government has yet to fund a single additional study examining the drug's potential anti-cancer properties. Is this a case of federal bureaucrats valuing politics more than the health and safety of patients? You be the judge. Fortunately, scientists overseas have generously picked up where U.S. researchers so abruptly left off. This month, researchers at the University of Milan in Italy reported that marijuana's constituents inhibit the spread of brain cancer in human tumor biopsies from patients failed by standard cancer therapies. Last year, the same researchers reported in the Journal of Pharmacology and Experimental Therapeutics that non-psychoactive compounds in marijuana inhibited the growth of glioma cells in a dose-dependent manner and selectively targeted and killed malignant cells, stimulating them to commit suicide, quote, in a natural process called apoptosis. In 2000, a research team at the Department of Biochemistry and Molecular Biology reported in the journal Nature Medicine that injections of synthetic THC eradicated malignant brain tumors in one-third of treated rats. The study was undertaken after the discovery in 1998 that THC can selectively induce apoptosis in brain tumor cells without negatively affecting the surrounding healthy cells. Nevertheless, federal officials in the U.S. continue to refuse to express any interest in funding or even acknowledging this clinical research. Well, there you have it. Actual research, but hidden and then ripped off the shelves.
They always do that.
They always do that. What you got there?
Well, I was going to start talking about a little bit about the College of Cannabis. And it's starting up in Florida. I was trying to find the information on it. But they were talking about how they're going to actually be opening a college and to teach people the ins and outs of cannabis and everything about it, strain types, what each cannabinoid does to you, how it works in the body, different ways to consume the plant, how to teach people how to use the plant, how to get the most benefit out of it.
Is this a Robert Plattshorn thing?
No, this one is actually it's just a cannabis college. It's going to be starting in Florida, and I had to try to find it. I thought I saw it on here, but
I'm sure Robert knows about it.
I'm sure he does, but so just getting out there, and if you ever wanted to work in this cannabis industry, now is the time. More than ever, there is lots of places online that you can see that places are hiring. Some you don't even have to leave where you're at. You can actually just work from home. It's some of them are sales calls.
Marketing.
So if you are wanting to get into being in the cannabis network?
Yeah. There's plenty of stuff out there for you to do. Let's see here. We've got By the Numbers. This is from Culture Magazine. We love Culture Magazine. And you should check it out. Where our ads in the back, and I think, I'm hoping next month we're going to have our new logo in there. Did you see the new logo? You can check out our new logo at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. Do you see that? Look at that right there. Isn't that nice? That's just awesome. You guys, everyone, go to tumbleweedhealthcenter.com right now and check it out. But this is a fun little, they always have this section in Culture Magazine under the news nuggets. They've got, they've got various quick articles here. Here's a good one. Maricopa County gives the green light. We like it. The landscape of Maricopa County, Arizona, will be getting a bit greener in the coming months. In a 4-1 vote, the Board of Supervisors has approved the implementation of cannabis cultivation sites and medical dispensaries in unincorporated areas of the county. Unincorporated. The unanimous vote has approved the proposed ordinance allowing for the cultivation of cannabis in industrial zones of Maricopa, as well as the existence and operation of medical cannabis dispensaries to function in commercial zones. However, the law expresses a minimum distance of operation for the cultivation sites and dispensaries, keeping a specific length between schools, churches, and parks. This is a definite improvement for the county's former zoning parameters, which prohibited dispensaries and cultivation from functioning within their jurisdiction. However, a judge has recently ruled against a would-be dispensary operator in Sun City, stating that the operation wouldn't be in compliance with the state's approved laws on medical cannabis. The county is currently appealing the judge's ruling. Well, there you go. Grow, grow, grow. So each county has a different limit to the size grow you can have. So I think here in Pima is 3,000 square feet, and I think Maricopa is, I think it's larger than that. Some go 5,000, some grow 10,000 square feet. Jeez, can you imagine? That's just a plethora of goodness right there, don't you think? I love it. I love it. All right, you know what else I love? This song.
Puff, 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 puff. Puff, 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 puff,
into my house, like, what up, I got some good pot, I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop, ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty, my friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey, rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time, dominating all my friends, as I eat some chili fries, draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me, probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea, but shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, oh, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking
know about the science of marijuana. What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon is the president who made the plants illegal, but science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons, I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealthy? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, So it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right, welcome back. I love that song. I don't know why. It just makes me happy. I thought
it gets you in the mood.
It does. Gets me in the mood for pot. I'm in the mood. Okay, never mind. Here's something that people ask us about all the time when coming to get certified at Summer Weeks Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. I said that the other day, and someone said they don't call it in the back. They say, we're in the cut.
We're in the cut?
We're in the cut.
Huh.
We're in the cut. So there you go. There proposed you go. Discount on medical cannabis card for veterans and senior citizens. So here you go, for all you vets and senior citizens. For the men and women who have fought for collective freedom and weathered day-to-day trials longer than most, a small break every once in a while is no crazy notion. Will Humble, director of the Arizona Department of Health Services, agrees that seniors deserve a little help when it comes to paying for medical cannabis cards. Humble is proposing a 50% discount on medical cannabis cards for senior citizens, former military servicemen and recipients of Social Security disability benefits, and federal supplemental security income. Since 2010, the fee to acquire a medical cannabis card has been $150. But Humble and his team are hoping to at least downsize that cost for seniors and veterans to $75. This is one of several rules the Department of Health Services is looking to fine-tune after Randall Warner, a Maricopa County Superior Court judge, categorized them as too harsh in 2011. Maricopa County recently changed its stance pertaining to the cultivation and functioning of medical cannabis dispensaries in their jurisdiction earlier this year, newly allowing for growing operations in medical shops in designated areas. Awesome.
It is awesome.
That is awesome.
I like that they're doing that, especially with Arizona being a very populated senior citizen area.
And veterans.
Because we have the Air Force Base here.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Very
this
cool.
is the retirement state and the snowbird state.
It is.
So, yeah, the senior state. Well, you got an article?
Well, with St. Patrick's Day coming up.
Oh, look at the Irish.
Well, it's lots of green.
But
cannabis is
greatly.
Green.
Irish weed.
I'll be wearing green all day that day.
Oh.
I just wanted to give a little...
the Irish weed.
They're doing a corned beef and cabbage, which is 5 pounds of corned beef.
Corned weed and cabbage?
Corned weed and corned...
Sorry, corn.
It's okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
5 pounds of corned beef brisket.
Ooh, 5 pounds
two whole cloves, two bay leaves, 8 medium potatoes, quartered.
Feast.
Yeah, it definitely is a feast. 1 medium cabbage cut in wedges, 1 clove of garlic, 8 medium carrots,
almost sounds like
and
cabbage
2
kid.
Pounds
oh,
of canna butter.
Holy cow. Woo! That's a lot of canna butter. Wow. You're going to knock out the entire family. Might not be a bad idea.
There will be
the
no pinching going on in that after.
No complaining. Everyone will just be sitting around with
that
smiles.
That sounds actually pretty delicious, though.
Playing Monopoly. That looks delicious, actually. You should
arrange the slices on the platter with the cabbage and brush the potatoes with the cannabis butter. So everything gets the cannabis butter. So you're not just...
Wow.
It's
the potatoes,
the carrots, the cabbage.
Oh.
Joe's just, to me, sound delicious.
That's not even fair.
I'm not a big
we're going to breakfast
beef.
After this with our canned sticks and cannabis butter. Sure. Let's put it on the, you know, pancakes that come to the table. Smear it on. What else you got there? Those are great recipes. All right.
Some other stuff. An Irish coffee.
Oh, that's right. When's our Irish Day? It's in 5 days from now.
You add a little bit of your 2 ounce cannabis simple syrup.
Does it count if you smoke green instead of wear green?
No, it's the same. You have it. You're going to have it with you.
Walk around with the green leaf.
Yeah.
All right. Here's one from The Nation. Here's our news nuggets from Culture Magazine. Members of Congress petitioned Obama to reschedule cannabis. In January, an interview with President Barack Obama brought widespread attention to the cannabis cause when he commented that cannabis is no more dangerous than alcohol after admitting that he used cannabis when he was a young adult. His quote spurred positive reaction in the cannabis community, giving many activists and patients hope that soon cannabis will be rightfully rescheduled. Instead of being placed in the same illegal category such as LSD and heroin and labeled as a drug that's worse than cocaine and methamphetamine, 1 month later, 18 members of Congress compiled up a number of representatives from Oregon, Tennessee, California, Arizona, Massachusetts, Virginia, Texas, Colorado, Illinois, and Vermont. They sent a letter to Obama urging him to do just that. Take action and reclassify this herb. The congressmen and women utilize the same facts which many pro-cannabis groups believe, that the current classification is unjust and irrational. The petition further requests that Attorney General Eric Holder appropriately change the federal acceptance of cannabis in accordance to the herb's use for medical purpose. The letter ends with a short and clear statement. We believe the current system wastes resources and destroys lives, in turn damaging families and communities. Taking action on this issue is long overdue. Amen to that. Hmm. There you go. That's awesome. Look at all that.
Well, you know, we were talking to lawyer Tom Dean last week.
Yeah, Attorney Tom Dean. We love Mr.
And
Dean.
And he was telling us a little
I
bit about this.
I love what he says. This has been nonstop on my mind since he said this. Why reschedule it? Why even schedule it at all?
Right.
What do you guys think about that? So, because tobacco, alcohol, those aren't scheduled.
Nope.
You know, and there are, you know, Tylenol, ibuprofen, Excedrin, Advil. You can die from all that stuff. That's all over the counter.
Caffeine.
Caffeine.
I have one on here.
Water. You can overdose
caffeine
on water.
Caffeine versus THC.
Oh, you know
about
what?
About one?
Yes. Yeah. Read it.
Can we read that one?
Read
really
it
quick?
Up. I like it.
About 1% of the population is addicted to a drug that gives them headaches if they quit.
Oh, yeah.
It may cause jitters, anxiety, insomnia, and ulcers if they don't use it.
Yeah.
It's lethal in high dosages. About 90% of the United States population takes this drug regularly. Even though it has no medical use, it's marketed to kids, sold in the near schools, and on school playgrounds. It's scheduled one narcotic, you assume? Nope. Caffeine. The San Francisco Chronicle looked up the emerging definition of caffeine use disorder this week. Nothing that roughly 1 in 10 people meet key criteria for caffeine use disorder.
Wow.
They wanted to cut back but couldn't, despite knowing that it would be causing them harm and would suffer withdrawals. Symptoms if they were tried to quit. I've tried to quit, but I get headaches, said the one caffeine addict in the story. I've seen people who have gone to great lengths to get caffeine when it's unavailable, a researcher added. I knew a woman who pretty much ruined her husband's tropical vacation because she spent a half a day looking for caffeine.
Oh. That's awesome.
Oh, really?
There are no Starbucks on the island.
Two cups of coffee can cause headaches, anxiety, and jittery hands, and a higher dose, like 6 shots of espresso, can cause mania and psychosis. And eventually death. Caffeine is a very addictive
powerful.
And analogous to nicotine. There are people who have chronic reflux, stomach and acid pain, bleeding, hemorrhoids, all because of caffeine. They're suffering a lot, said Keith Humphreys, a Stanford addiction expert, quoted in the story. But they try and they fail to stop. However, for some things to be considered an addiction, it needs to be truly disruptive, causing problems in personal relationships, for example, or interfering with an ability to work, the story continues. And here lies the issue in the double standard. Anxious, irritability, caffeine addicts aren't labeled as such and ostracized. Problems in caffeine addicts' personal relationships aren't immediate blamed on
ubiquitous
mind-altering drugs. Business outright nurture the addiction with the caffeine.
With free caffeine to boost productivity.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they do. If you notice now, like, probably at least 2 to 3 times a year, McDonald's offers free coffee, free lattes, buy one, get one free. Starbucks does it, especially when you vote. You get free coffee when you vote. Like, really, let's get jacked up and vote. That's not so smart. Actually, I think you get it after. You have to show your little I voted sticker, but, you know.
Here's a good, this is a good number.
I don't even need the caffeine.
Controversially,
you can do it. Here's a controversy.
Half of the country thinks that is a deviant, illegal behavior. About half of Americans, 51%, they said they would feel uncomfortable if people around them use marijuana, while 48% would view the report.
Could you imagine if the government said that now we can't use caffeine?
Oh, my God. It would be an outrage.
I think there are over 15,000 deaths a year just from caffeine alone. Does your article say that? It's pretty crazy.
I do know that one.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go by the numbers. By the numbers. Okay, the number of trips that one Arizona patient made to dispensaries in 2013, 314. So the average person went almost every day to a dispensary. They made 314 trips to a dispensary last year. The amount of square footage that one Arizona dispensary will be expanding to for further cannabis growth in production, 10,000. So 10,000 square feet, the amount of square footage that one Arizona dispensary will be expanding to for further cannabis growth and production. That's just one. So they're up 75 or so. The amount of money in millions which Arizona has generated in fees that are contributed to regulation and inspection of cannabis in the state, $7 million. The average number of medical cannabis purchases made by patients in 2013, 10. That's interesting.
I'm still thinking about that 314 days.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's what I thought in relation to that. So the amount of medical cannabis in tons, which State Health Director Will Humble predicts will be consumed in Arizona in 2014. He predicts that in 2014, Arizonan patients will consume 10 tons of medical cannabis. That's his prediction. Well, because it was 3 tons last year.
Right.
So.
10 tons.
I'm not sure. I think, I don't know, unless dispensaries are got some serious sales going on. The percentage of Hawaiians who want to legalize cannabis, 66. The amount of pages in one Illinois medical cannabis draft proposal, 48.
The current number of signatures gathered for the Nebraska Medical Initiative, 3,000. Oh, the percentage of voters in the Charleston, Western Virginia, who support the implementation of the doctor's recommended medical cannabis, 56. The estimated number of dispensaries to be approved in Nevada by April 2014, 66. The number of dispensaries to be approved for Clark County, Nevada by April 2014, 40. The amount of money in millions, which John Morgan donated to help get cannabis legalized, added to the Florida ballot, 2.8. The number of registered nurses associated with the Pennsylvania Nurses Association, who supported the Senate bill in 1162. The association who supported Senate bill 1162. which aims to protect patients who want to use medical cannabis as well as the health professionals who recommended it. 212,000.
Wow. Holy cow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
There's so much support for this out there. And now that Dr. Gupta's special came out again, I think there's always been a following for it.
And, you know, we always talk about coming out of the cannabis closet. And, you know, there's been marches now. There's been rallies. There's been doctors behind it. Now it's been on the forefront of the media. And now it's getting comfortable in people's eyes. And that's what you're kind of doing with the community.
A no big deal thing.
Right.
Well,
what was the last, we said 56% of Americans say they are for
it? Yeah, just legalize it.
Just legalize it.
Yeah, just legalize it. I like Mr. Attorney Tom Dean's theory of just, you know, letting it be out there, the 21 and over. I think that's a good idea. But, of course, it's always should be available for medical use for anyone at any age, you know, kids especially.
Right.
Because the medicines that the doctors, you know, Western doctors provide for children anyway, they're too harsh.
Have horrible side effects.
Oh, my gosh.
And how can that be?
Side effects. We had Brave Michaela on here, and she was talking about her cancer and the effects of some of the medications that they give little kids. What do they call it? Dropping leg syndrome. Where they just, these little kids, after a certain amount of medication and a certain weeks into it, just, they fall, their legs just give out from underneath them.
Mm-hmm.
And Brave Michaela never experienced that because, well, hopefully, you know, due to taking the oils, and the hemp oils and stuff that she was taking, but there are so many nasty side effects, they just can't handle it, you know? It's insane.
And they're so harsh on the body.
They are harsh on the body. I mean, besides making
it runs some of the blood cells to where there's none.
Yeah, it makes so that you can't eat, you know, and that's just the opposite of what you want to do.
Right.
You need nutrition to heal.
Pump your body full of antioxidants and antimicrobial.
And good stuff.
The good stuff, cannabis.
Yes, cannabis. High Times magazine claims that there's a strain called Bruce Banner number 3. It's 28.3% THC. That's pretty crazy. That's a pretty high amount. I grew something I can't even smoke. And it's only 20% THC. It's just too much. Too much energy. Woo! I like the indicas.
What was that?
Morning Glory.
I like that one. But you had to mix it with something.
Yeah, you did. It's a little too much if you weren't going to do
a
half
one.
And half. That was a really
definitely
good one. This is Earth's strongest strains, they said. Bruce Banner is the number one strain. And guess where it came from? Denver, Colorado.
Bruce Banner.
Not just number one for 2013, but also the most potent strain ever tested in the history of our cannabis cups. The Bruce Banner was born and raised in Colorado. The number 3 phenotype appearing twice on our list for 2013 is the OG dominant phenotype in a hybridization project that saw an OG Kush mother crossed with a strawberry diesel father from reservoir seeds. The male used was Cushman's strawberry cough, which also appears again later, and sour diesel, while the OG mom is said to be that of the legendary ghost OG from Oregon, or Oregon Kid, for our forum friends out there. That old school ghost cut was circulated during the old days of overgrow.com by a person known only as Ghost, making the Bruce Banner a true forum freak of nature. Incidentally, the same ghost mother was used once before to create another strongest strain, number one, the OG ghost strain Haze from 2011.
Oh.
But the Bruce Banner number 3 may dominate the list for a while, absolutely crushing it at over 28% THC. Talk about strong. Who knows what you'll turn into after getting down with Bruce. That's a lot. Holy cow.
What you're going to turn into.
Wow. Yeah, I don't want to turn anything. I love this magazine.
Bruce Banner, if I'm not mistaken, is from Batman. And he... No? What is he from? The Hulk.
Oh, Bruce Banner. Well, there you go. No wonder. green ripping, you know, shirt ripping green monster, the Hulk, Bruce Banner. There it is. No Hulk's here.
No Hulk.
Why don't you take a look at our historical timeline and see what's in there? We haven't done this for a little while. We're going to read some history here. Oh, and while flip to where we are there, and while we're looking there, did you guys know that in Arizona, in Tucson, Skywalker goes for $4.50 an ounce? That's
wow.
What they're selling it at the dispensaries. That's a whole lot. And I've seen some dispensary prices, and they're really unimpressive. They're really expensive. I've seen some $25 a gram prices. It's really bad.
I've been to a couple of dispensaries, and they were up in the Phoenix area, and I noticed that some of them had some lower price stuff. It was almost like clearance, like they were trying to get rid of it. And I tried a little bit of it, and it was really, really bad.
Was
no
it?
Flavor.
Oh, wow.
It was just like it was left for a really long time.
You don't want that. That's
no.
For sure.
No.
No.
I don't know. What do you have over there?
Well, in Sweden, in Stockholm, you can get it for 110 an ounce, but it's called Schwag. And I don't know if that's a strain name or if that's actually what it is.
Is it flattened? Does it look like it came off of a...
I don't know, but in Portland, Oregon, Blackberry Kush is going for $150. That's
wow.
Really nice. I was in... I had my California card, and Sebastopol, they had a... an ounce going for $140 an ounce, and I was on a budget, so I thought, okay, I'll try it, I'll check it out. And I went back the next day to get more. It was that awesome, and it was gone. Gone. So, you know, you just got to check it out. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it isn't. Make sure it's tested.
Well, all and right. Also know your dispensary and where you're getting it from.
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Are reading up on some of the comments on the dispensaries and things like that. And
that's good advice. And
because you don't know...
I don't know about the prepackaged stuff. There's a lot of people that come in here talking about the prepackaged stuff.
Well, you don't know how long it's been there.
They don't necessarily like it. They say it's dry and,
mm-hmm.
you know, that whole kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking we could read a little bit of... Oh.
Wait, I got one more thing. This is something I wanted to read real quick before we go empathy on everybody. Oh, my God, look at the time. It is. See? I knew it was going to happen. Look at this is our golden stoners.
Oh.
So this is in high times. Our most effective pot advocates are those who've known the weed for years. So check this out.
So
we've
good.
Got Robert Platshorn, age 71. He's in
Whoa.
Our show. He's the former Bobby Tuna of the infamous Black Tuna Gang, which smuggled 500 tons of pot into the U.S. during the 70s. The gang was eventually taken down by the FBI and DEA, and Platshorn served nearly 30 years in federal prison before successfully reinventing himself as a medical marijuana advocate. He now operates the Silver Tour, educating seniors on the medical benefits of cannabis. This is great. Morgan Freeman, 76. He says, the award-winning actor is a longtime user and advocate. In a 2012 interview, Freeman described cannabis prohibition as the stupidest law possible, one that creates criminals out of people who aren't engaged in criminal activity, he said. We could make zillions. In 2003, Freeman was quoted in the British paper The Guardian giving this advice, never give up the ganja, it's God's own weed.
Wow.
I love it. And they talked to LV. Musica, who's 74. She's one of federal patients.
Oh, yes.
Willie Nelson, who's 80. We all know Willie. And Dr. Lester Grinspoon, 85, who is coming on our radio show. Dr. Grinspoon, an associate professor of psychiatry emeritus at Harvard Medical School, secured his place among the pioneers of cannabis advocacy in America with his landmark 1970 book, Marijuana Reconsidered.
Mm-hmm.
His 1993 Marijuana, the Forbidden Medicine, helps move the subject of Metapot into the mainstream. Grinspoon used to hang out with John Lennon, and he even testified at his deportation hearing.
His son, this guy's son, was actually had leukemia.
Yeah,
he was very, very sick. Very, very
sick,
and he smoked. His son smoked.
Mm-hmm.
And
It helped him out until
his son passed away. And then Elvie, she's just great. She was
She's an
advanced glaucoma patient. and has been using medical cannabis for the last 30 years.
Yeah, provided by our federal government.
Provided by the federal government. And has not gone blind yet. And I mean,
hopefully won't.
And hopefully won't. I mean, she's stopped the progression of the glaucoma.
All right. Well, look at that.
Right on time.
Right on time.
That's so nice.
Oh, well, we want to thank our bloggers out there. It's always fun reading all the blogs that we have online. We love our Netherlands friend that always comes out to say hello to us.
Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Yeah,
today.
Totally. Thanks for hanging in there with us. Well, and we would just like to ask you to take a look at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com for the latest news and information, where you get your certifications, and check out our new logo. It's awesome. We're going to have shirts and hats and coffee mugs, and our dog collars are going to wear. Oh, sure. We'll go 80s. We'll go fanny packs. We'll do it up. We'll do it up right. So check it out. Come get certified. Come get recertified. Lowest prices in town. We would like to thank us for joining us today. Good job, Canvas Kid. We would also like to thank Blog Talk Radio, Growers House,
Accurate Med Testing,
and Culture Magazine, and azmarijuana.com. They have awesome information. They have all sorts of giveaways, too. You can check them out for all the giveaways. You can check out Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 Broadway Boulevard or at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. Come visit us. We'll give you all the information you want and all the education you want. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Woo!